I'll tell you one little story. Where you see the photograph over there?
Mm-hmm. Of the jersey?
Yes. You've got a photograph of that in one of your display cabinets, the photograph. Because right. Mm-hmm. That's Arthur Hudson and Duncan McGregor. Mm. Now, Duncan McGregor started the sports shop with Arthur Hudson in 1908. He came on tour in 1905 with the New Zealand All Black side. Mm. He played against Cheltenham at the Athletic Ground, because Cheltenham were the stand-in to play a touring side in those days. In fact, Cheltenham lost 18-0. They played against Gloucester, and Gloucester lost 44-0, I think. He then he played in that famous game against Wales, when Wales won, didn't they? The only side to the All Blacks lost, I think it was. That was it, anyway. And he went back to New Zealand. But he befriended Arthur Hudson, very much so. And during that time, he played one game for Gloucester, one friendly game. He came back in 1908, but he came back as a renegade, because he came back as one of the first professionals for rugby league. And he played again at Cheltenham, the Athletic Ground, for the New Zealand All Golds, they called them. Still very friendly with Arthur Hudson. They started the sports shop, but he was playing for Merthyr Tydfil. Now you say, why the hell was he playing for Merthyr Tydfil? In Wales, they started a 26 rugby league set up, and he was playing for Merthyr Tydfil. And they had quite magnificent crowds, actually. But after a few years, that all died out. And in 1913, Duncan McGregor went back to New Zealand, and he left those three artifacts behind. And they came into the hands of a friend of mine by the name of Nick Healy, who started Long Levin's Club in 1954. They were passed to his grandfather, and they passed down through the family, and they were under a bed virtually in Gloucester for about 80 years. And Nick left me those in his will, his rugby memorabilia. And what happened in 1991, when the New Zealanders played America at King's Home, a great friend of ours, Colin Meads, who was one of the outstanding All Blacks of the last century, he was at Gloucester at the Matson Country Club with an under 21 side, New Zealand side, not associated with New Zealand to that full extent. It was a young side sponsored by industry in New Zealand, and Colin Meads and his friend were just escorting them around England. But he was in Gloucester at that time, and he came. I said, you want to come down to the game? And I got him a ticket, and as we were walking down the London Road, I said, come in and meet my friend. He had a little shop in the London Road, and Nick was behind the counter in his denims, as he always used to be, and met him, had a quick chat, and as Colin Meads was going out, he said, well, I've got something you might like to see. And I thought, well, I wonder what the hell that is. So he went to the back of his shop and brought out a plastic bag. And out of the plastic bag, he pulled that jersey. And Colin Meads looked at it and said, there can't be many of those around. And he went back in the plastic bag. So on the Monday, I said, where did you get that from? And he told me the story. It was his grandfather and his grandmother had promised it to him. Anyway, he pulled out the leather ball and the cap. And the leather ball had the autographs of the 1905 tour. A lot of them have been faded, but the most prominent was the captain, Dave Gallagher, who got killed in the First World War. And on the cap, the dates went from 1903 to about 1908, definitely, because he started as a very young, he was a flame winger, and he started in 1903 for the All Blacks and went through until the time he turned rugby league. And he had the unique record of having scored 4 tries against England in the first England-New Zealand game at Crystal Palace in out, in that on that tour, and they beat England, and he scored 4 tries. So that was unique about it. Anyway, so Nick had him in this plastic bag. So the Antiques Roadshow came along about 2002, and I said to him, "Can I borrow that jersey?" He said, "Oh yeah." I said, "I'll look after it." So I took the bag, took it along to Eastnor Castle. We stood in a long queue, and they picked out the thing, said, "Oh, we might be interested in that. Would you sit down over there?" Somebody came up from inside and said, "Yes, we would be very interested to interview. We'll call you about 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want a cup of coffee, go into the room and have a cup of coffee, and then we'll call you." It was a lovely day, and about 2 o'clock, I went out on a long table and put the items on there. They put the items on the table. And they'd done a bit of research in the morning, because they'd rung up London and various places, so they knew a fair bit about the history. And anyway, one thing led to another, and they valued them at £12,000. And put them back in, brought them back to Nick in Gloucester, and they went under his bed again. Well, it'd been between 2002 and 2005. The curator from the RFU rang me up and said, "Oh, is there any chance we could see that jersey?" And I said, "Yeah, certainly." I said, I'm certain it is. I'll ask my friend, but I said, "You'll have to get off your backside and come down to Gloucester," because I said he didn't go to his little shop much then. So if 2 to 4, he came all the way in for taking them, put his white gloves on and inspected it all, and away he went and went back to London. Sadly, Nick passed away in 2002. And then it came to the 100 years anniversary of the 1905 tour. So I had a telephone call. Would my friend be prepared to loan me the jersey for that? And I said, "Well, sadly my friend's passed away." But I said, "They're in my possession now." And they said, "Well, would I loan them for 1 year?" So I said, "Yes, I will do 1 year." So my son and I took them up to Twickenham, and they had them for a whole year in a cabinet up there. Then, true to form, they came back, knocked on my door, and brought them back and said, "Thank you very much," and I put them away. And then my brother-in-law, who used to live 2 doors away, who I'd paid in the front row with Cheltenham, passed away about 5 years ago, and his son, who worked in New Zealand, came across to his father's funeral, and I showed him the items, told him the history. He went back, he was working for the New Zealand government at the time, got talking to one of the government officials. One thing led to another, and New Zealand said, "Could they have them on loan?" And so I said, "Yes." I said, "You can have them on loan for a year, same as I have to the RFU." Well, what happened? They went out, they were received by the Prime Minister, Helen Clark, 20 parliamentarians and other sort of dignitaries, and by sheer coincidence, they had 3 All Blacks to join the party, and those are the 3 All Blacks, and the one in the centre was Greg Somerville, and this was Mager, and I think that was MacDonald, I think it is, but they were in the parliamentary party to receive these jerseys and that.
That's a very young Greg Somerville.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Well, this was, as I say, it was about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they went back, and they received back, and they had them for a year. And then they said, "Is there any possibility we can have them to the World Cup?" Which is next year. And I said, "Well, that'd be all right." So they're on loan out there now, and they were received back as the most valuable artefacts of the 1905 tour. They're in a display case in New Zealand headquarters. They going around their museums in New Zealand, and that's what they are. And the arrangement is, if I want them back, I give them a year's notice, and they'll get them back to London, where we took them to the Governor General when they were handed up. Or if they want to get rid of them, which they never will, they'll give me a year's notice, or whoever it is. And they're insured now for £20,000, and they're treated as the most valuable artefacts, I'd say, of the 1905 tour. They came from under a bed in Gloucester for 18 years. Amazing, isn't it?
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a good job they were under that Gloucester bed, because it doesn't sound as though anybody else has survived.
Yeah.
Mm.
lovely. And that that was a photograph he had himself. He used to keep that in his shop.
Yeah.
But that was came through mainly through the friendship of Duncan McGregor with Arthur Hudson. Yeah. And what I like about it, he did play one game for Gloucester in as a guest in 1905 or 1906.
Yeah.
But three New Zealanders played for
Gloucester. I was just going to say, I think there were three of them,
yeah,
weren't there?
Yeah, there was three of them, and he was one of them.
Yeah.
So it was amazing.
How I got it right then, he and Arthur Hudson founded the sports outfitter shop together.
That's right, yes.
And so how long did McGregor remain in partnership in that shop?
Well, it must have been, they started in 1908, and McGregor went back in about 1913.
Yeah.
So, and of course Arthur Hudson at the time was working for the railway, and he didn't retire from the railway until about 1926. And I have a feeling the sister or somebody else was looking after the shop, because McGregor couldn't have been looking after it much, because he was down back and forth from Merthyr Tydfil.
Yeah.
But the three of them, Arthur was quite a shrewd businessman, and he realised that Duncan McGregor's name would help with him in the business. And then I presume that when he went back, it was just
bought him out, probably.
Yeah, brought him out, and and that was it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And it, yeah. Just,